Good to see each one of you this morning. We had a wonderful, had a nice service at the nursing home this morning. We didn't have any speaker, though. They didn't have much of a speaker either, but I mean a microphone. And so, I'm glad we have one here. I haven't spoken. I started through Philippians in January of 2008, and I haven't spoken out of Philippians since May, due to my absence for a few months, and then I had an inspiration to do another subject or two in October when I had to speak. So it's been a while since we've been in Philippians, and although I know I'm mindful of what's in there, I hope that this morning, actually I started in chapter 3 of Philippians in January. That gives you any idea of how long it's been, and I hope that as we come to the end of it this morning, that we can recapture the flavor of the chapter and the context in which the apostle has written it to address the subject, citizens of heaven. And Paul is just so intense in some of his teaching here, but yet it's so tender. He is instructing this church out of a great love for them, and it just comes out in some of the things he says, and then there also are some very strong warnings here in this chapter. And we've had the pleasure or the opportunity, as best as our ability is, to convey that to you over the last few months, to be able to see in that and look into in the insight into the apostle's thinking, as he is a prisoner at this time, although not in a dungeon of sorts. He's a prisoner, and he's kind of confined to what he can do, but yet he can write. And he is, as you know, writing to this church to encourage them and to give them instruction. And according to what he says back in chapter 1, he don't know if this might be the last time he's ever writing to them. You know, he just didn't know. You and I, as Christians in the 21st century, we enjoy relative ease, but in Paul's day, you never knew from one day to the next if your faith was going to cost you your life. And there are people in the world today, now I'm talking about you and I in the United States, there are people in the world today that don't know if tomorrow their faith is going to cost them their life. Beloved, there are people that still suffer for the gospel every day. But what we have looked at here in this chapter kind of blends in and ties in with the ending of it. Now, by the Lord's grace and His providence, He inspired people down through the centuries to take the Scriptures and break them down in chapters and verses where we can pretty well keep up with them. But that's not how Paul wrote it, obviously. It was in a letter. And we started in January going through this chapter, but, you know, this was a letter and didn't take Paul a long time to write it. So you kind of have to maintain the idea and the thought through it to be able to find out what he's actually saying. I think, Brother Jim, that's important in anything, but especially when you're going to finish out a chapter with a thought like he's saying, we are citizens of heaven. Now, you may think that he is saying, well, we're just going to have a wonderful time. And there's going to be all these nice things. That's I don't think that is at all what he's saying here. And if we look into what he says prior to this, I believe we'll see that it's a remembrance, it's a reminder, but it's for a reason. You and I are to continue on in this life and in this world for the sake of the gospel. And that's in the flavor, in the content of which I believe Paul says this here. But he's been very, you got to look inside the heart of the apostle in this chapter. But deep inside of it. And he just kind of opened himself up and let us see who he is. And in that, we can gain strength from that. And he's going to say that in our text that we look at this morning. He started off this thought or this chapter telling us and reminding us to be good listeners and to be careful what we listen to. Don't know if you remember our sermon in January of A Word of Caution was the name of it. And you remember it was Paul saying, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, the false circumcision. He was saying, be careful what you listen to. Understand and filter what you listen to. Make sure you're not swept away by some type of foolishness. And then certainly that is a reminder to you and I, you and me as well, that we are to make sure we listen and listen to the right thing. Because the world is filled with hucksters and the world of religion. And there's a lot of people there that only want to make money at it. And you have to be careful about that. He also gave us a point of not putting our trust in who we are or the accomplishments that we have in our life. Who we are and what we've accomplished has absolutely nothing to do with our state of eternity and the salvation of our soul. You got that? Does that register? Who we are and what we've accomplished personally has absolutely nothing to do with the status of our soul before God. Because you remember, he opened up and he said, I was everything. I was a Pharisee. I knew everything there was to know. I knew all about religion. And we may accomplish a lot of things in our lives, but there's only one reason that we have salvation. There's only one reason that we're saved. And he tells us that too in this chapter. That's being in Christ. Because he said, all of the things that I so thought were valuable and put my confidence in, you know what? Once I got a glimpse of Christ, it's just garbage. It's just rubbish. So you see, he's telling us and showing the church and us, and as we study this, he's saying that's what's valuable. Not what you've done or what you can accumulate or the stars you can get on your hat in this world. Now, he says that about people here in verse 18 and 19 of our text this morning. He said they set their minds on earthly things. He's not talking about unbelievers. They set their mind on earthly things. It's, what's important is what they accomplish here. But he's saying that being found in Christ and in His righteousness is valued above anything. Anything we are can do or can accomplish. The important thing is being found in Him. He says, I count everything as loss, the surpassing value of knowing Christ, and that I may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own. Is that your heart's desire today? Is that your desire? Really? What if you did all of these nice things, even just right here for our little church, and nobody ever knew it, and you never got any credit for it? Would that matter to you? What if you had to give the honor to someone else? Well, the honor for our soul is our Lord Jesus Christ. He deserves it all. And that's what Paul's saying. He says, be found in Him and having His righteousness. That's what's important. So he's opened up his heart here, but he's giving such vivid and beautiful instruction and telling us what is so important. And every now and then we need to be reminded of what's important, right? I mean, that's why we kind of come to church on Sunday, to hear good lessons taught and sermons preached and various things, and we study. That's what Paul is saying. And he says, being found in Christ. And he said, then we've got a life to live. We don't just swoop up to heaven. We've got a life to live. I want to know Him perfectly, and I hadn't gotten there yet. But I'm on the way, and I'm pressing on. I'm moving on. I'm going forward. And he, listen, this is such practical teaching in Christianity. You and I live this every day. This is not some pie-in-the-sky apostle that's lofty up here. This is a Christian man who struggles with sin every day and has to move on and live and breathe in the world just like you and I do. And beloved, we've got to be able to see this is so simple, and it is our life every day. Tomorrow, if the Lord allows the sun to come up, you will have to press on. See? And he says, I'm pressing toward a goal. And we are to live in the standard that we have in Christ and press forward toward the goal. High mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I've got to live. And we need to live right. And we need to behave ourselves. And we need to press forward and stand in the right attitude and conduct our lives rightly. Because, now here it is. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here. That's what he's saying. Press on and live your life as you should and represent Christ. And that's our desire, right? To honor Christ. That's supposed to be our desire. To honor Him. There is no one under the roof of this building that needs to hear this any more than me now, your speaker, okay? I'm the first in line. So understand that. I've already heard it, though. And some of it ain't bad, but, you know, see? I hope and honors Christ. But our desire as Christians is to honor Christ with our lives. We want to live the example of Christ before others. You see what he said? We got to pull back in verse 16, kind of scoop it up and get it into where we are today. He says, let us keep living by the same standard to which we attain. We want to learn and grow as Christians in order to be effective. I'm more effective today, I hope, because I've been enlisted into preaching in this church for 5 years. That's how you do it. You grow, right? I mean, is that what we're doing? Some of my brothers, I ain't going to tell you which one, Brother Elders, I'm not going to tell you which one because I'm going to keep it a secret. It's in his 70s. I bet he learns things all the time. I bet he still grows. I'm almost 60 and I still do. That's our goal. And I teach 90-year-olds every Sunday. Every now and then one of them will say, I didn't know that. And that's a blessing. And we want others to hear the gospel and come to know Christ. And we want to be found and we want to be found in the grace of God in Christ Jesus alone. That's our goal. Paul says we're citizens of heaven. All these things and more we desire as Christians. But ultimately our desire should be to honor Christ and to be with Him. Do you have a desire to be where Christ is? I know we have attachments to this world, and I know we're as human beings, we think about the things around us. I know I understand that. We love our families and our children, but ultimately, do you have a desire to be where Christ is? Would that be a wonderful day? Would that be a wonderful thing? I mean, that's what we should be as Christians, is desiring to be where Christ is. That's going to be a glorious time, a glorious day. What's it going to be like when you first see the Lord Jesus in person? I mean, it should be the desire of all of us. Paul's writing all this, and he's already said, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He says, my desire is to be there, not here. I don't really know what to do, he says. But for the time being, it's better if I'm here with you. That's the best thing, I suppose, that I'm here where you are. But I have a desire to be where He is. And no wonder you and I should have that desire. Now stay with me, because this sermon's going to take a little bit this way and it's going a little bit that way, but it's going to be real, come right back to the point at the end, okay? That ought to be our desire. Why? Because the world we live in is not the most attractive place. Okay? And that's why it's important that we conduct ourselves in the right way and we continue to press on, which applies to what he's saying this morning, and realizing that this isn't even where we live. This isn't our home. It's where we live, but it's not our home. Because we're citizens of heaven. Because here we have weakness and suffering and constant battle with sin. That's something we all face every day, and we never talk about it. I mean, we don't talk about that with each other. Sometimes we even feel isolated. Sometimes we have family that we really don't have a lot to do with because of our faith, not from our side, but from theirs. Sometimes we're avoided. Sometimes we're ridiculed. Sometimes at work, people don't sit with us at lunch because of who we are. And ultimately, we face the same ultimate sickness and death that everybody else does. No wonder the Christian's desire is to be where Christ is. That's why it's so wonderful to come here on Sunday. Such a refreshing thing to be able to come here and be with one another. People of like mind. And that's what we do when we're here, to encourage each other, because it's not an easy life to live as a Christian in the world. Paul wasn't under an easy life when he wrote this. And each one of us every day are going to encounter some type of resistance from somewhere if we're living as we should in the world for Christ. And every day you're going to wake up and that same old tempting liar is still going to be standing at the end of your bed every morning when you get up, just like he was when you went to sleep the night before. And you got to battle the flesh, and you got to battle sin and all of those things. No wonder Christians want to be where Christ is. That ought to be our desire. But like Paul, it should be whatever is best. Now this is in real, this is in contrast to what most people teach nowadays. Of course, you know that being a Christian means strength and success and popularity and money and riches and perfect health and happiness and prosperity, problem-free life. If you just try Jesus, it'll all work out. Well, Paul's already talked about rubbish, but that'd fall into it. And I believe that a lot of these people fall in to verse 18 and 19 that Paul's talking about here, whose God is their appetite. Because our writer in the Scriptures teach otherwise than that. Paul had just got through saying that he had lost everything, including his life's hopes and dreams for the cause of Christ, and he considered it worth it. He considered it a good trade. Everything I ever wanted to be, I've lost it for the cause of Christ. You know what? It's just trash. It means absolutely nothing to me. In light of the truth of this statement in our text today, our citizenship is in heaven. It's a statement of great hope, of great anticipation, and great joy. And it ought to be something that you and I would gain great joy and hope from too. It ought to be something that makes us look a little happier than we do right now. It ought to be an anticipation that makes us happy and should give us encouragement and strength. And Paul said, I've lost everything in this life and I'm down to nothing more than an alien in this world. Do you turn on the news during the day? The evening, morning, midday, whatever? Anytime religion comes up, do you feel alienated in this world? I'm a fan of a Fox News channel. I watch it every day, and they have this religion correspondence, and they have a Catholic priest that comes on there. It's their religion reporter or whatever, and he gives all this advice, and it's just totally garbage. Christians and Muslims and all these people are equally going to share in heaven and all that, and all the people there just smile and they agree, and oh, it's just so wonderful. You let somebody get on there and say anyone outside of Christ is going to bust hell wide open when they die, and I guarantee you they'll edit what they say. They won't even be on it. Because a Christian is an alien in the world they live in if they live according to the gospel and according to what Paul says here in these verses. If we left here today and walked as Jesus walked, we would suffer the same fate as he did. And what did he suffer? They killed him. And would have killed him quicker if they could have. You don't have to read too far into the Gospels and try it. Go home, try it. Pick one. Doesn't matter which one. You ain't got to go too far in till you read these words and then begin to plot to destroy him. They begin to plot to kill him. And even after one of the most miraculous things that a huge crowd of people saw when Lazarus come out of the grave, that should have been a confirmation in everybody's mind who the Lord Jesus was. If you'll read that in John chapter 11, you'll see, then they began to plot to destroy him. You see, the same thing's going to happen to me and you if we walk the gospel They may not physically nail us to a cross, but beloved, it's going to cost us something. And that's what Paul's saying here. Paul's saying that. Keep living by the same standard. And then he says in the next verse, the first of our text, join in following my example. We'll get to that in a minute. But this world is an alien. It has nothing to offer me, and neither do I have anything. Neither do I want what it has, Paul says. It's got nothing to offer me, and I don't want anything about it. Is that our attitude? Is that it? Because the people in verse 18 and 19 here, they set their minds on earthly things. And Paul says, I wake every day and take up my cross and follow in the blood-soaked footprints of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's all kind of happy hallelujah. God's a great giver and He'll give you anything you want. But nobody, very few, preach that when you get up in the morning, take up your cross and follow Him. You see, that's why we're aliens in the world. That is why the hope of heaven and the just thought of our citizenship being in heaven, it's not of this world. Why? Because this world hates you. You believe that? Well, you know, go to John chapter 16. You'll find out what the Lord has to say about it. If it hates me, you don't be surprised. It hated me first. Our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the sweetest, most precious man to ever walk this earth with a no kinder or gentler heart, no greater love shown to any man or woman or child, no one more willing, no one more compassionate, no one more kind and gentle. And they absolutely detested the sight of Him and hated Him so bad that before His arrest and crucifixion, there was parts of the region He lived in He wouldn't even go to because they were laying in wait for Him. If they would treat Him like that, what do you think they'd do to us? We don't have the power to determine what He did. They said not during the festival, but God said yes during the festival. And beloved, never ever think that our Lord Jesus was not completely and totally in control of all of the events that took place during that time, during His arrest, His crucifixion, His resurrection. Every part of it He was in total control of. But the world hated Him and they felt like they were taking out their vengeance upon Him. But Paul says, for the joy, what? Set before Him. He endured the cross. For the joy set before us, beloved, let us endure the world. Even though we're aliens. And live the gospel. Every day. And I need to hear that more than any of you. All of us need to be reminded of that and renew our lives daily to living the gospel. Paul says, I'll carry my cross every day. Our Lord was outcast, hated, detested, ignored. You ever testified or preached and felt like everybody was ignoring you? That's okay. They ignored Him too. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Had no use for Him and it ain't going to have any use for you. In verses 20 and 21 of our text, Paul's not describing a beautiful, glorious heaven. There's other places where that is. He's encouraging your citizenship's in heaven. Your Savior is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await our Savior. Oh, one day our Savior is going to come. One day the Savior is going to deliver us already from sin, but deliver us from this curse of this world that we live in, which so many times and so easily we get attached to. He's saying here, take heart. This God-hating world is not all there is. Our Savior awaits. Your Savior's alive right now. And He awaits. Heaven is ahead of us. You understand that? Your citizenship is in heaven, not in Hueytown, not in Birmingham, not in Alabama or the United States. You live here right now. Bless God, one of these days you're going to take up residence in glory where He is. That's where we're going to end up. And that ought to give us hope. And it also ought to make us conduct ourselves in a worthy manner of the gospel that we believe. That's what Paul's saying. And he says that our Lord Jesus is going to transform our body from the dust and the sin into the glorious body like His. He says that right here in verse 21. He's going to transform our body from this humble state, from this corrupt state, in conformity with the body of His glory. You're going to have a body like Christ one day. You're going to be living in the strength of the glorified body of Christ, and He's doing it. Why is He doing all this? Look at the end of the verse. Because He has the authority to do it. He says at the end of the verse, by the execution of the power that He has, even in subjecting all things to Himself. Not only do you have heaven to look forward to, not only are you a citizen of heaven, not only, but your Savior is there and He's got the authority over everything that ought to give us the strength and the courage to stand up every day and walk and live in this world and live for the gospel. Our God is in charge. Our Lord is in heaven. And everything is subject to Him. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue is going to confess what the saved sinner's heart willingly already has. My Lord and my Savior. Thomas did, you remember? My Lord and my God. I don't think He touched Him, did He? I don't believe He did. I believe He just was swept over by the grace right there in front of Him. It's not some cosmic Santa Claus that sits in heaven this morning, beloved. It's the crucified Christ that rose from the dead in His body, and He is glorified, and He sits with authority and with great honor and great glory upon the throne of glory that is His rightfully, because He earned it. He bought it with His own blood. And He bought us with His own blood. That's why we need to live in this world and continue on in the faith. Not because He depends on us, but because of the grace and the glory and the mercy that He has shown us. The same God who said, "Let there be light," is our glorious, glorified, honored Lord Jesus Christ, who has earned the honor and respect. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Paul saying, continue. You're a citizen of heaven. That's where your Savior is. That's where the authority is. It's not in this world. It's there. And He has the authority. And the only thing that's going to keep a person out of hell is the gracious Lord Jesus Christ just turns them around and won't let them go. That's who your Savior is. He said in verse 16 to keep living by this standard. And that word means to go ahead prosperously and turn out well. keep living, keep going, and keep at it. Paul's not saying here, hey, just think about it. One of these days we're going to be sitting around in heaven, we ain't going to have nothing to do, and prop our feet up, and oh, my back ain't going to hurt no more. My arms and shoulders aren't going to hurt anymore. My feet aren't going to hurt. I'm not going to get old. My hair ain't going to fall out. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful time. He's saying, you're citizens of heaven. Press on. See, it all comes together. Press on. Stay to the standard and live the gospel. Why? Because we need to show the Savior's compassion and caring and that He cared for others. And we need to help others and we need to live the gospel because we want to see people come to Christ. And our lives should exalt Him in everything and honor Him with our obedience. These are the things that mark the true Christian. Even though we live in weakness, we don't always do the things perfectly because we're still sinful people. But our pattern of our lives should be striving to do so. Paul says here in verse 17, if you'll notice, he says, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Join in following my example, he says. That's the New American Standard Version. Now your King James says, be followers together with me. Which I think, according to the study on this, I think that's a little closer translation than the New American Standard, because according to MacArthur, the Greek translation of this phrase is be follow. Excuse me. is be fellow imitators with me. In other words, Paul's not saying, well, look, I do everything right, and you know, I'm perfect, you ought to do what I do. But he's saying, follow and be a follower with me. Even though I'm a sinner, follow us and follow me in Christ's likeness. And that's what we should do. And this is encouragement that we need. Paul was a leader, no doubt, but also a saved sinner who needed encouragement and fellowship too, like we do. And he goes on to say, observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. So you and I have encouragement, and we have help, we have examples, we have our pastors to look up to, and we have each other to support each other. And Paul's not saying, I'm perfect, do everything like I do, but come on, follow along with me. And beloved, that's what we need to do. We have godly men who pastor us here at our church, and we are able to follow them, and we follow each other, and it includes all of us, elders, our deacons, and all of the people of the church. It doesn't make any difference whether you're an elder or deacon or if you're just a part of the church. We're all together, and we're all together to strengthen one another and to follow along with one another and to encourage one another, and sometimes to correct one another. There's nothing that says we don't do that either. But he said we all follow along and follow along together and be imitators of me together, be followers together with me. And we're all following and going after the same Lord. And you and I should find great encouragement that we have one another to be able to follow and to find strength in. That would take all of us. Observe, he says. That means to fix your eyes upon. And that is to fix your eyes upon each other as we live. Look, this life isn't easy. It's easy for me to sit up here and tell you all the things, but beloved, we all got to go out in the world and live. Paul says here at the end of this chapter, keep living by the same standard. Follow along with me. Observe everybody else. because your citizenship is in heaven. And he says in verse 18 and 19, he says, now there's many who walk as I told you and tell you even now weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, that's a bold statement. And sometimes the pastor has to be the one to point out what the enemy of the cross of Christ is. He said, now, I don't see anything that would indicate he's talking about just a lost world out there. Because what do they care? He said, these people are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their appetite. Their glory is their shame. And their minds are set on earthly things. You know, Paul, he just always seems to stick in the right little stinger there to make us remember. Everybody's not true. Everybody's not real. Everybody don't go to church on Sunday. And I'm not talking about our building. I'm just talking about church just because they go for many reasons. Everybody don't get up and pulpit and preach just because they want to glorify and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. They got an appetite somewhere else. Now, he's not talking about somebody here. He is not talking about here a saved person that battles sin every day. That's not what he means. But I want to tell you, I won't spend a lot of time on this because if you go back to our sermon in January, beware of the word of caution. You'll find a lot of text. It's number 17. And Brother Jim can give you a copy of that, and I'm sure there'll be a line out the door waiting on one when we get through this morning. But but that'll give you a lot of what Paul's talking about here. But he said, everybody isn't like this. Is your God your appetite? He's not talking about sitting down at the table either. It's the desires of your heart. Is the earthly things all that matter? You know, some people, religion is just a way up for them. Some politicians like to be seen going in a church building on Sunday. And they come out on Monday and they vote to destroy more children or to do whatever they do. One just doesn't go with the other. Paul's saying, don't let this happen to you. Don't set your heart and mind on earthly things. He's not saying here, don't go out and make a living, pay your light bill, water bill, and buy groceries. But what is it that motivates you? What is it that consumes your soul and your heart? Is it the things of this earth? Or is it the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's where we should focus. That should consume our hearts. Our Lord Jesus and the gospel and His business of what He has given us to do while we're here. Because we've got glory ahead of us. Our Savior is in heaven. And we'll see Him one day. You remember what Paul said in chapter 2? And this should be mine and your thought, parting thought today, okay? I want you to remember this if you don't remember anything else. For me to live is Christ. If I wake up in the morning, for me to live is Christ. That's what Paul's saying here. You've got to go well on back up into chapter 3, on back up in around verse 12 and to get the whole thought, and hopefully I've done that. But we're pressing on. We continue to live by the standard. We're held to a standard, beloved. All right. I mean, I'm not saying there's do's and don'ts, and that we gotta earn our salvation. That's not what I'm saying. But there is a standard that we're expected to live by. Paul says, because we're citizens of heaven, Your citizenship is there. Press on. Do we sin? I ain't going to answer for you. But I know I do. He's not saying, well, you got to be perfect, you know. We battle it every day. And then there's one, that one favorite one that just won't go away, no matter what it is. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. But you press on. Because the life that we live is not a life of glory and walking on water every day. It's a life of repentance that continues on beyond. And it goes on and on every day. And every one of us. And I made you feel a little bad this morning, and I know that. I brought up things, but I can tell by the look on your face, but that's okay. You got a Savior in glory. But every one of us, there's not one sitting here who certainly truly knows Christ that can't say to themselves today, I just can't understand it. I'm a worse sinner now than I was then. It's just, that's just how it is. And I got bad news for you. You ain't never going to feel any better about yourself if you know Christ. Because the longer you know Him, the closer you grow, the brighter the light gets, the more dirt you're going to see. But that's all right. You press on and you live that life of repentance every day. You live the life of faith that Paul's talking about here. That includes knowing that we're citizens of heaven. That ought to motivate us to live now. When we get there, we're going to find all kind of nice things. But that ain't what heaven is. Heaven is where Jesus is. That's heaven. I don't know where heaven's at. Well, it's up there, Walter. Well, yeah, I guess so. If you're in Australia, then you'd be pointing this down that way. I don't know where it is, but it's wherever Christ is. One day we're going to be there. But until then, we got to keep going. And we got to conduct ourselves and act like we should. You know, there's just nothing worse than to a pastor, I think, or to any Christian, and to pick up the newspaper or pull up the website. I mean, I don't even read newspapers anymore. I mean, I read all my news on the internet, but and to see some longtime pastor somewhere that all of a sudden it's found out that there's some kind of double life going on there, and you just saw that. Come up a month or so ago, I believe, a pastor of a large church. I mean, I don't even know him or anything, but had been living all these years, and then he had all those issues with those young boys. I mean, it just devastated. That the world is looking for things like that. That will make every website, every news site in the world. But there's only one website that's going to have anything about this morning on it, and that's going to be ours. But that's the heartbreak. John MacArthur said his congregation told him, said, you better behave yourself. He said, I live under strict standards. First, his wife, and I don't recall her name, watches everything he does. And his church said, you better behave, because we don't want this to ever happen to us. We have to live every day. We have to live, and we live a life of repentance and faith every day. But beloved, we have to be aware of what damage we can do to the gospel if we don't. Paul's saying, live right, stay the course, press on, and behave yourself. Live like you should. Because your citizenship's in heaven. You got enough people here that don't. But that's not you. That's a wonderful thought, verse 20 and 21. And it's a wonderful way to end the chapter. Next week, now, Lord willing, I'm up to next 2 weeks, so if you got a vacation you want to plan or something, you can go ahead and do it. But next week, we're going to get into harmony of the church. He kind of shifts gears. I guess that's why some learned person put a chapter break there, Brother Tim. Kind of changes the subject. And then we're going, Lord willing, talk about harmony and getting along with one another. And that's a challenge now. You pray for me this week, because we do. And it's, I don't know, it's easier to preach that here, I guess, than it would be somewhere where everybody fought all the time. Then we're going to go on into some really popular verses here. Paul ends his thought with saying, keep going. And go back and go through chapter 3. It takes you just a few minutes, but take your time and read it and meditate on it. And then bring it all together in that thought that he's writing it in. And it'll refresh you. It'll refresh you. And here you, I've lost everything I ever thought I'd ever going to be. But it ends up, I got glory ahead of me. I got glory ahead of me. I ain't going to get to go yet. I keep living here. But I'm a citizen of heaven now. And that kind of makes that rubbish comment make sense, doesn't it? I hope that you can say in your heart this morning, I'm a citizen of heaven. Why? Don't answer me, but why would you be a citizen of heaven? Well, there's only one reason. Because, as Paul said back here, you're found in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you don't know that, any number of deacons and elders in this church will sit down and discuss that with you. And you may have been going to church for 50 years and don't know it. Doesn't matter. We'll still do that. But beloved, if you know that your citizenship's in heaven, it ought to make you joyful. That ought to give us the motivation to face our lives this week. But if you don't, I encourage you to seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Because He is sought. He is found by those who seek Him. And Father, we thank You for our time together this morning. I hope we were able to get out the idea, Lord. Sometimes it's such weakness, but we pray You'll bless it. We pray, Lord, that You would be pleased to honor the words here. None of us really have the ability to express everything we want to, I don't suppose, but maybe that we honor Christ as our first priority. That Christ and Christ alone is our hope. Even though we get weary in our journey and weary in our travels as we live in this world, oh, don't we know that He was more. Give us strength and grace, Lord. Love for each other. Love for You. Encouragement from each other. Thank You for giving us each other, to encourage each other. And Lord, we just thank You for Your love and mercy to us. For our Lord Jesus Christ, who took the nails of the cross, the anger of God for sin in our place. And we thank You that He sat down in glory. Now bless us, Lord, through the remainder of this day. Let us live the gospel this day and tomorrow, and as long as You see fit to give us air, breath in our bodies, because we know that we're citizens of that glorious place where You are. Lord, let that encourage us every day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.